farm when we bought it was basically a corn and beans farm, and then much of it was in overgrazed pasture. So it was grass, corn, and beans. But the biome, the plant communities, natural plant communities in the area was oak savanna. And so the oak savanna was characterized with an upper story of either oak, chestnut, or beech. It was a mid-story of cherry and apple. All of these prior to European arrival were just the wild cultivars of those plants. And for a shrub layer, there was wild plum, there was hazelnut. Hazelnut was one of the dominant shrubs in the upper Midwest savanna biome. And, of course, grass grew all over the place everywhere, and animals were, you know, the notorious grazers in the system prior to settlement. Of course, bison being large in numbers.
And I'm assuming then those are the crops that you're primarily producing now at New Forest Farm?
So what we do is we focus on a strategic few of those. So we're not doing a complete ecological restoration of an oak savanna, but we're picking out some of the keystone species from a tall crop, medium crop, short crop, et cetera. We plant them in rows, and then we either grow traditional alley crops, you know, corn and beans, small grains. We grow produce in the alleys in between those rows of trees, or we graze animals. At the most, we were grazing cattle, sheep, pigs, turkeys, guineas, and chickens through the whole system, one after the other. They all cruise through it. If you can imagine like a National Geographic video of the African savanna in your mind, all these animals out there wandering among the trees and shrubs and bushes with grass everywhere and just tons and tons and tons of animals and lots of birds. That's the system that we're imitating, but of course the North American version.
As you look at agriculture today, what do you think are the biggest issues with agriculture today and going forward?
I think the biggest issues with agriculture going forward is the absolute critical dependence on an uninterrupted supply of inexpensive fossil fuels. Without the fossil fuels for the sprayers, the herbicide itself, the fungicide itself, fertilizers, transportation fuels, you know, equipment, there's one hiccup in the fossil fuel supply. American agriculture comes to a screeching halt. But if we design agricultural ecosystems that are imitating nature, natural systems, we still have to harvest them. We still want to do some, you know, weed management. We'll still want to do some disease control, pest control, et cetera, but drastically reduce. And if we want to, we can just walk away, and our farm will turn right back into an oak savanna, which is what it really is.
Do you think that farms like yours can produce enough food to meet the nation's and the world's demand?
Well, first of all, the farms that are out there right now aren't currently meeting the world food demand. And so before they start pointing fingers at us for not meeting world food demand, why don't you step up to the plate and take care of it first? I just want to put that out there. We can farm on land that is not considered to be arable land. We can go on rocky, steep hill slopes, land that currently right now is not producing food. And if we need to produce 50% more food in the next 4 years, to keep up with human needs, we don't have to only look at arable land. Another point with the food supply, let's take corn, for example. And if you're talking about beef alone, the vegetarians are right. It takes 10 pounds of corn to make 1 pound of beef. We have 900% more food available to us, except that we're feeding corn to cows. Well, and then another 15 to 17% of all corn is made into ethanol. So all of those calories that could have gone to feed people are now going to right to burn in our cars. So until, you know, we go ahead and utilize 900% more of the calories available for feeding people instead of, you know, fat cows and ethanol plants, I don't think it's a fair argument to point at a system like mine, because I come up a few calories short when compared to an acre of corn.